The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. How you doing? You good?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
Got some football tonight. Last night, no baseball, which is a weird feeling.
Yep.
I guess we'll have to get used to that feeling pretty soon. but the NBA in full swing.
NBA binge fest for me last night.
Oh, I'm sure. We got JBT coming up. Jonathan Montoble, our senior NBA analyst, to talk both NBA and college football. Because, of course, he has a couple shows on college football over the weekend. Let's start with the NBA. And, of course, Unscripted with the Crack Man. Don't want to leave that out. That's our Thursday staple coming up from Bar Canada at the D. Let me just ask you this. First of all, let's start with Wembanyama, because I know you didn't have any bets on it, but Victor Wembanyama in the Spurs loss, 126-119 loss versus Dallas last night. Sorry, Spurs plus five people out there. That wasn't fun for you. 15 points, nine in the fourth quarter. So it was a late flurry from him on the points. 15 points, five boards, two assists on 6 of 9 shooting, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, notably, but 5 turnovers, 2 steals, 1 block. About what you expected for game one? A little disappointed, a little nonplussed by the whole thing?
No, not at all. If anything, the opposite.
I mean, you were impressed.
I think very much what I thought, and I think this is what you're going to see from Wemby, but man, I mean, he had his moments, especially in that fourth quarter, where it's, you don't look like a rook out there, man. I mean, putting up those shots, making those shots, but plays defensively.
Did it teach you something about, like, rebounding props, though? Like, maybe that's not the game that's going to flourish early?
Yeah, he's going to be more on the perimeter, defensively. I think that, look, almost every one of these games, there's something to learn, right? We talked about LeBron yesterday. What did we learn after that opening night? Oh, he's going to be on this minutes watch. I thought it was telling, listening to, Pop telling the broadcast that it was all he's been telling Wembanyama. All I want you to worry about is defense. Like, worry about defense. Worry about defense. The offense is going to come. You can be an immediate contributor on defense. Yeah. I don't even want you worrying about your offense. So I thought that was a little telling going forward on how they're going to handle him. But what I didn't really get a good chance to see last night because of the foul issues is how's his stamina? How's he going to be able to hold up throughout the course of a game? But I think the fouls, like, that's going to be a thing. That is going to be a thing.
Foul trouble was the key, was the big thing last night.
Right. I mean, he's going to be an active shot blocker. He's going to try to be, and as he should be, especially if they're playing him at the four. It's going to be a lot, I think, like we saw out of Jaren Jackson Jr. a year ago, and he was in a lot of foul trouble throughout the year. So that's going to happen, but man, he had spurts in that game where he looked like the best dude on the floor, maybe sans Luka Doncic.
23 minutes, but dictated by the 5 fouls that he ended up with. All right, so I'm going to give you an NBA multiple choice. You ready for a way too early one-game reaction to one night of the NBA multiple choice?
Sure, let's go.
All right, which was the most notable performance of these? I don't know, I'll throw out 4 for you from yesterday in terms of, at least, let's just make it raising an eyebrow as it points towards a bet, maybe a futures bet. Maybe you're like, oh boy, this is going to be great. Maybe it's an award bet, whatever. Okay, here are your choices. A, New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson last night, 23 points, 7 boards in the Pelicans 111-104 win at Memphis. That's choice number one. Choice number two, Kristaps Porzingis for the Celtics last night, 30 points. Both Zion and Porzingis, second leading scorers on their teams, 30 points, 8 boards on 8 of 15, shooting 5 of 9 from behind the arc in the Celtics come from behind 108-104 win at New York. Choice number three, this gets a little more nuanced now. Think awards or whatever.
Okay.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31-5-10 on 12 of 18 shooting, 2 of 5 from behind the arc in the Thunder's 20-point win at Chicago, which actually induced an impromptu team meeting for the Bulls right after the game.
Team meeting.
We need a meeting.
Billy Donovan, get out of here. We got a players-only meeting after game one.
Billy Donovan's like, okay, sure.
I was sitting there last night with, like, excellent with my Bulls under. I'm like, this is going so well.
And by the way, the Rockets getting beat by 30 was even worse. That's another story. Oh, magic, where it's like, baby, are they going to be that bad?
Watch out.
And then here's just one off the grid. Choice number four, Cade Cunningham. And the reason I point this out, not only because he had 30 points and 9 assists in the Pistons' 103-102 loss at Miami, a loss that Miami scored their final points just under 3 minutes left in the game and just held on the rest of the way. Detroit had all the chances in the world. But I just want to say this with Cade Cunningham. He took 27 shots. He was 13 of 27, 4 of 9 from behind the arc. So just from a volume standpoint, just pointing at him like, well, might he be something if he's going to jack up that many shots every single game. So those are your choices. Zion, Porzingis, Gilgeous Alexander, and Cunningham. What was the most meaningful to you yesterday?
Oh, man. See, a lot of those, I think, I wasn't shocked by Zion. I was on the Pelicans. That was part of the handicap. But yeah, I think I want to go there because you know me, there's excitement when he's on the court. And we saw when he played last year, this was a top 10 offensive and defensive team throughout that time last year. And I don't think if he can stay healthy, and I know that's a huge if, and with the rules now, if you having to play 65 games or 62, even if you have an injury, I don't think there's an award bet you should be running to make. But it's a team to track. I think it's a bet on team early for me. I think you'll be seeing me bet on them early and often, Gil. And yeah, team futures, I'd be more open to that than an MVP bet or something like that on Zion if you were really going to get crazy. Not only because of the other great players that are in the NBA, but is he really going to play that many games? I don't know. Pelicans, though, definitely I will be having my eye on closely here to start the season.
And Porzingis, at least for one game, couldn't have melded in better to that team.
Yeah,
is this
absolutely
a better team than last year's Celtics? Immediately, it's better.
Without a doubt.
It's
not quite as deep, but without a doubt. Same thing with Bucks. You're without a doubt better. You're not quite as deep.
Bucks debut tonight. You got any play in the Bucks game?
No, nothing.
Sixers Bucks.
Nothing tonight. I grabbed a little bit of Lakers money line when the news came down yesterday that both Devin Booker and Bradley Beal will be doubtful for the game tonight.
That's amazing.
In game two of the season, so I grabbed a little bit of the money line. That up to 6, 5.5, 6 now most places. Nothing big for me though. I do think, I know JVT wrote up a bit about this game, but we have him next, so I'm not going to give away his play.
Okay. Football tonight.
Forgot he was on.
Thursday night football, week 8, the National Football League. Is it week 8 or week 9? I can't remember.
Week 8.
Week 8.
Did the same thing earlier.
I was like, I can't even keep track anymore. Week 8 in the National Football League, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills really got to stop this slide here. Kelly and I have already talked about the Bills as a great teaser leg this week. And if you need, like, if you're into trends, which we're not on this show, but if you want a teaser-friendly trend, Josh Allen in this kind of spot, 16-1 straight up, is a home favorite of at least 7 points. So that would lend to the teaser leg work out.
We're kind of out of that price range, though.
We are now. It's 9.
I almost fell over, walked in today, and looked up at the circuit board, and they got 10 up.
Yeah, it's gone now. It's 9 consensus, but it's 10 up here at Circa. The total's at 43.5. So if you do the conflation of that, of the two things, what is that? Boop, 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 boop. It's like 26-16 kind of thing, kind of game is what's expected by the market anyway at this point. When we do Thursday Night Football, we always like to highlight sort of an analytic stat that, you know, might lead you towards a bet. We talked about Derek Carr and the Saints last week as being able to really move the ball between the 20s, but then when they get in the red zone, they're just god-awful, and you've got to make the assessment in the handicap. Is that just something that's going to be their identity, or is that something that regresses? Dr. Bob, who's on the Megapod today, which I'm doing with Will Hill and Todd Wishnev after this show, he would say, it will absolutely regress, those kinds of things. So the big thing with these two defenses this year, Tampa Bay's and Buffalo, Tampa Bay blitzes at the 4th highest rate in the National Football League, but they have the 9th lowest pressure rate as a result of blitzing at the 4th highest rate. That ain't good. And if you blitz someone like Josh Allen, you don't get pressure. That's not the way to go, because he ranks 3rd in EPA per play and 7th as well. At 6th in quarterback rating, pardon me, out of 35 quarterbacks in those situations. So that's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, Buffalo can exploit that. Now, the Bucs defense, this is the real thing that I want to talk about. Also, with them, they've allowed the 7th most yards per drive, but just the 10th fewest points per drive. So why? They have forced 3rd most turnovers in the National Football League. while only allowing 22% of red zone drives to result in a touchdown. That comes to us from Action Network. So that rate is unsustainable, right? The league average red zone touchdown percentage is 54%, just to give you an idea. So if you're, you know, if you've allowed the seventh most yards per drive, but just the 10th fewest points per drive, that means not only are you forcing a lot of turnovers, but you're making like really fortuitous key red zone stops. It's not sustainable. My whole Giants, again, alternate season win total under this year is based on how they never regressed to the mean last year. They were just running hot on all of that last year. But the Bills are the same way. 15th most yards per drive allowed, but 7th fewest points allowed per drive from their defense. And again, like the Tampa Bay defense, the reason they've been able to do that, they've generated the second most turnovers in the league and have only allowed 40% of red zone drives to result in a touchdown, which is the 6th lowest mark in the NFL. So you have two defenses which give up a bunch of yards, but not a lot of points because they've gotten turnovers. And now with the Bills, you have obviously Taquan Jones out, Matt Milano out, Tre'Davious White out. You can't think that that's going to be sustainable. So what does all of that point to when you throw that in the wash? Maybe an over on this total, which now we're seeing 43.5 on this. That seems to indicate that would be the play based on that one snapshot. Those two defenses being bend, don't break defenses, as the standard mainstream announcer would call them. But there's numbers behind that. And you just have to ask yourself, is that sustainable? Some people might say, oh, yeah, that's their identity. The analytics folks would not. They'd say, oh, no, there's a spillage of points getting ready to happen.
Anything for you on this one, though?
Yeah, I would lean over. I haven't made a play yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, didn't know if this was one
and
of the
I do have a Bills teaser leg. Okay, yeah, I would do that. That much I would do. JVT on his thoughts on the NBA last night. His college football plays. Next, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now. Get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's a very pensive looking Kelly Bidlin sitting to my right.
You okay? I'm looking forward to the MLB playoffs.
You know they started already. You know we're at the World Series. You know,
oh yeah, that's yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are you completely wrapped up in the NBA already? Like you are immersed one day or actually two days in. Now.
Yeah, it's not like I've really missed anything though. I mean, Tuesday I watched baseball along with the NBA.
Feels like the NBA finals ended 6 weeks ago. No?
I hear you. You know, it felt like that in like September, but now it feels like it's been forever. I don't know.
You know how that works in your head like that?
It's crazy.
This gentleman has been waiting for the NBA to start with a fever. He is our senior NBA analyst. You know him as JVT. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. You can follow him on Twitter at @MeJVT. He's also the co-host with Kelly Bidlin of Hardwood Handicappers Basketball Podcast and does two college football shows on the network over the weekend. John joins us now. He's on daddy duty. How you doing, man?
I'm good. We bought some new Spider-Man spoons for the young one to, you know, get used to feeding himself. So I'm just kind of watching him make a mess with oatmeal right now, you know?
It's a good effort. Is he giving it a good try? Is he getting there?
Oh yeah. I mean, this one loves food. So like there's no mountain he will not climb to put something in his face. So he is conquering the spoons.
What's like your JVT tip? Are you like, no, this is your mouth, child? Is that what you're
pretty much kind of thing? I think what you really got to do is I'll give you tips, Gil, because I know you're probably on the verge of having children. You know, you just got to guide the spoon, you know, you let them handle it, you let them shake all over the place, but you just kind of slowly guide the hand to the gullet. Like that's all you got to do.
Let me check on
the gaping maw that is his mouth.
Let me check on me on the verge having children.
Yeah, congratulations.
Gotta check on that. Yeah. Let's see what that's all about. All right, JVT. Two nights, actually, you know, one major night of full NBA action last night, or near full NBA action last night. Give me your single biggest way too early takeaway on anything. What made you sit up and go, oh boy, this is going to be something?
Okay, so I'll go like to like two ends of the spectrum. I think I'll go with a reasonable, you know, takeaway, and I'll go with an insanely like just short sample size I'm willing to overreact to takeaway.
Love it.
The first I think nuanced and normal one is, and I texted Kelly this in our Hardwood Handicappers group chat yesterday. I think that the Grizzlies are going to be a play against team as we move forward. You know, that was a bet that Kelly and I both made yesterday. And it was one of those where I don't think the market is really accounting for how thin and different this Grizzlies team is. You know, no John Morant, no Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark. We know that this team is nowhere near, from a depth perspective, the same team that went 20-5 without Ja 2 seasons ago. They only went 11-10 with them last year, without him last year. And one of those key cogs, Tyus Jones, was out there hooping it up for the Washington Wizards yesterday. So, like, when I watched that team, I watched a team that was thin, that was small, that didn't have a lot of shooting. And a lot of teams like New Orleans did yesterday are going to just go out, play zone, and dare them to shoot. And I think that's going to lead to a pretty poor season. So I'm really down on Memphis. And until the market kind of adjusts to a degree that I think is reasonable, I'm going to be consistently going against Memphis and even maybe playing some team totals under. So I think that would be the reasonable one from yesterday. I think totally out of this world, like, oh, my God, I'm going to totally overreact to this, and I'm willing to be kind of sound crazy. I will invoke the same name that I did. You know, we get a lot of, like, you know, we talk about these awards, right? And we always look in different places. And sometimes when you finally get to watch these guys play, you know, you finally get like, oh, hey, you know, maybe this guy's a candidate for this award. Going back to Tyus Jones, we all talked about how, hey, man, you know, Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma and all of these guys are going to be balling it up for the Washington Wizards. Tyus Jones is a damn good player, and he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And now that he's a starter, I think he's worth a look at most improved player. I think Tyus Jones is going to have a long leash out there in Washington. His numbers are going to go up, and I think he's going to be an outlier candidate to win that award. And I think that's kind of my crazy outlandish one after one game.
All right. Wizards got beat by 23. They dropped 120, and they got beat by 100, right, by 23 last night by the Pacers.
Those Pacers games are going to be ridiculous, those totals.
Yeah, 143 to 120, as JVT's son reacts as well to that news. And by the way, for those who forgot, Ja Morant out the first 25 games, yep, of this NBA season. Anything tonight? Doubleheader, the old TNT doubleheader. Sixers and Bucks, our first chance to see both of those two teams. Obviously, the new look Bucks with Dame. And then the Suns at the Lakers playing their second games, respectively.
Yep, so I got a bet in both games. First one, I'll go with Philadelphia and Milwaukee. So I took six with Philly. And I think that we're kind of getting to the point where maybe, you know, the market is a little too strong here. It's funny how the conversation differs from what the market thinks sometimes, obviously. But like, all we heard is like, hey, Harden, he's useless. What are we doing? Like, you know, he's not that good of a player. He's selfish. But the market's like, ooh, let's bump this up to six because he's not available. Like, this team's kind of deep still. Like, you know, obviously, Joel Embiid is still playing. Last time I checked, Tyrese Maxey is a most improved candidate and arguably favorite because of how well he has developed along the path. You have Tobias Harris. You have PJ Tucker. So you've got a really good collection of players in your starting lineup. You've got De'Anthony Melton and Patrick Beverley. So you've got two guys who can defend at the point of attack and will fit Nick Nurse. And by the way, speaking of Nick Nurse, he's there now. And for those who don't know, in the regular season, Nick Nurse is a coach that is known for game planning to a ridiculous amount when it comes to these regular season games defensively. So I think they're going to have a lot in store for Milwaukee today. And the Bucks are just kind of putting things together. I took six with the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're going to stay within that number. You know, offshore, it was like 6.5. So if it gets to like 6.5, it's probably going to be there. But I don't think there's going to be much of a difference. And in the Lakers and the Suns game, obviously with Bradley Beal and with Devin Booker, we don't really know what to do with the number. Having said that, I actually went to a player prop. We all remember Anthony Davis, right? Second half, 0-6, whatever. We're all calling up names and making fun of him. But I think when you look at Davis, and especially after the news that we got the other day, LeBron James is going to be on a minutes restriction, it sounds like. He's not going to play more than 30 minutes. His point total prop was at 22.5 against a much less imposing front court. So I played over points for Anthony Davis. And LeBron is not dumb. He understands what the narrative is coming out of that game. He has been very pro Anthony Davis his entire time there. Wouldn't be surprised if there's also a concerted effort to get him the ball and get him some scoring. So Davis over 22.5 and Sixers plus six.
All right. I like it. Refresh my memory. The JVT, the Jonathan Vaughn model, will be making a NBA attempt this year as well. Is that true?
Yep. So that'll be out tomorrow. The John Vaughn model 1.0 actually got delayed because NBA in our meeting yesterday. So I actually have the projections coming out in about an hour or so. But yes, the John Vaughn model player based will be there.
Player based. I like it. And how's the NFL experiment going?
So last week was kind of interesting as I'm kind of getting ready for this week. The player, like the top five best bets, the edges, they went 2-3. So like, you know, under 500, obviously, and not incredible. But the overall edges actually went 8-5. So it was a successful day overall or successful week overall, but the five biggest edges had a subpar week. So I'm really messing with Gil. So what I've been kind of doing is I've got like my model that I've been using week to week, and then I've got another version of it that is purely based on 2023 statistics. And when I updated that this week, it was the closest it's come to looking more like the betting market. So I think for this week, I might actually just roll with to see how well it does the full 2023 version to see what those edges do, how it performs, and see if I can start to use that one moving forward as opposed to the one that still has a few bits and pieces remaining from the 2022 data.
I love it. I love that you have dived into this and you are absolutely committed to both and learning in the process. We are never, no matter how old you get, Kelly, you're always learning something. So JVT, good for him, sort of putting himself out on a limb with this. All right, college football, you are the host, you and Pamela Maldonado doing Live Bet Saturday, each and every Saturday, noon to four here at the network. And of course, also College Lines Revealed with you and Pam, 1 to 3 Eastern on Sunday. Your favorite college football plays of the weekend, sir.
So there's a couple. I would actually gravitate North Carolina last week, right? We're all going to remember that, hey, you get a big win over Miami, then you fall flat on your face against Virginia. If you look at some of the PFF metrics, though, Drake May actually played really freaking well. But his team was charged with 6 drops, and they were key drops. And I think that maybe there is a sense of, hey, look, well, let's downgrade this team after the result from last week. But they played better than what that result indicated. So they're on the road against Georgia Tech. I think they're about 10.5, 11-point favorites. I think I'm going to come in and actually go with North Carolina as my best bet this weekend because I think this is a good bounce back opportunity. I think the market's overreacting to a result and not realizing what exactly happened in that result that led to it. So Drake May and the Tar Heels are going to be on that list for sure as at least the best bet for the weekend.
Yeah, just projecting forward to the NFL draft. Are you a Drake May guy? Would you draft him first?
You know, I don't know in that, like, as well as like I'm making the case from last week as a whole this year, he's been kind of underwhelming, you know, like the metrics haven't really been there. The numbers haven't really been there. And then he finally gets Tez Walker back. And it's almost like kind of like tunnel vision, like he's going after him almost every single time. And Tez Walker's awesome. But I do kind of get concerned with like, hey, you know, you lost your top 2 wide receivers last year and all of a sudden you kind of go back to mediocrity and then you get one really good receiver and then you start kind of just funneling it to him over and over again. I still think he's going to be the second quarterback, but over Caleb Williams, I'd still go with Williams. But this year has led to some concerns with Williams, given the way this offense has run with him over at USC, you know?
All right, back to your model, because we've got to run. Your leans that the model is spitting out in the NFL are?
Let's see. I just pulled it up for you right now. So the leans really quickly. Top one would probably be the Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. Laying 3 on the road this week. Okay, John, appreciate it. Tend to the children. Thank you, man.
Yes, I will. Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Montel, I'm me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine, Texans at the Panthers this week. We'll come back. Who will have the best record in the NFL? You can bet on it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. See what I did there, Kelly? I spelled it out for everybody. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada at the D, lovely downtown, as they say, as a yinzer, as Todd would say it, Las Vegas. First of all, we always love, just to sort of peel behind the curtains, when we used to do primetime action, we used to always die because members of our family would never remember that we were on air, and they would just call in the middle of the show.
Close friends, family, you know, yeah.
What do you mean you're doing a show? Same time yesterday. I was talking to my mom. So Dr. Bob, who's on the Megapod an hour and a half, he just calls right in the middle of that break. He's like, hey, Skype? Yeah, no, Skype. It's going to work. Sure, I'm just doing a show here, Bob.
Maybe do the break time. Exactly. We're going to be a commercial break. Show.
We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is, you know, we always talk about bets that we won, that we lost. We don't often talk about some, like, you know, we do segments every day with guests. Liam Friend, born in Gary, is his Twitter handle. I guess he's born in Gary, Indiana, where the Jackson 5 is from. He said, hey, Gil, here are my notes from a Paul Sporer segment on November 1st, 2022. Paul Sporer segment, November 1st, 2022. So right after the World Series, or at the very end of the World Series last year, I guess.
Okay. I got a lot of questions.
He didn't predict this World Series, but liked Texas and Arizona for the season. I guess I asked him, what's your early viewpoint, you know, no numbers seen, no season win totals, on which teams to look out for next year? And he said Texas and Arizona, plus he had the Yankees as overvalued, not bad. And Liam shows the picture of a loose leaf piece of paper with his scribbled notes about this. And so Ben McGovern chimes in and goes, yes, after that segment, I bet Arizona over win total to make playoffs, to win the NLCS, and to win the World Series. Very profitable segment. So just a shout out to Paulie from that long ago. I bet you even Paul Sporer doesn't remember that Paul Sporer said that, but listeners are so great.
What's interesting about that is I got a text from Joe Sheehan the other day, who was saying he had remembered and written down in some of his preseason notes about an appearance he made with us. And I guess you asked him a sub 500 team that he would have making a long run. And he had brought up Arizona as well. So,
yeah,
I guess a couple people did on this show.
Paul had brought up all the time. He's like, you know, I've been on the baby snake. So he would remember the Arizona part.
Yep.
RDW at DCowboy777. Oh, because I made the comment about I'm setting the total of viewers tomorrow night for game one of the World Series at 7.5 million. He says, I'm going to take the over. Because with out-of-home viewing now included, a Friday night is a factor to the good he's talking about. Mike Rouse, we gotta save this for when Crack gets here in about 10 minutes. He says, if possible, can you spend a few minutes on this topic today? Okay, this is a slot machine topic. We'll get to that. And then Mills, win this junk. That's great. These are terms we use on the East Coast. Win this junk. He said, Kirk Cousins, offensive player of the year, currently 150-1 at DraftKings, first in touchdowns, second in yards, doing it without Jefferson, and Minnesota's toughest games are now behind them. Just saying. Mills, win this junk. You're not the only one. You are not the only one. There's a bit of a Kirk Cousins long shot buzz from some folks. I won't do it personally, but I understand the sentiment.
I get it. I mean, the stat wise, it makes a ton of sense. There's no doubt about that. It's just how well can the team perform, right? Wow. I don't think they're handing out offensive player of the year to a team missing the playoffs, right?
No, they would not be handing it out they would not be racing to do that. That is correct. Let's talk about this. In the National Football League, of course, we, you know, before the season starts, and then as we determine who is the last winless team, Carolina Panthers, the last undefeated team this year, the Philadelphia Eagles, we talk about those two markets. We don't often as much, I guess, I should say, talk about the team that will end up with the best record in the end. We have talked about it, just not as much. And so taking a look at this market right now, where it all stands now, juxtaposed against remaining strength of schedule, aggregate of that team's opponent's win percentage at the current moment, I think there is kind of an obvious bet to be made here, Kelly, in this particular market. And just looking at the National Football League standings, of course, you obviously look to see, okay, well, which are the teams that have the most wins currently, you know, at this moment? And obviously those teams are the Kansas City Chiefs right now, who are 6-1. And of course, in the NFC, you have the Eagles at 6-1. But there's a bunch of 5-2 teams, the Lions, the Niners currently at 5-2. Cowboys had a bye last week, but they're 4-2. Dolphins are 5-2. Ravens are 5-2. Jags are 5-2. So this is at DraftKings, most regular season wins. The Chiefs, who are currently 6-1, they're the short shot. They're plus 210. Their opponent's remaining strength of schedule, Kelly, is 476. That's 23rd. So in other words, what's that? That's the 10th easiest remaining schedule in the National Football League. And so therefore, and it makes sense, they're the short shot to end up with the most regular season wins. Eagles were also 6-1. They're second at plus 320 in this market, second in terms of being the second short shot here, plus 320. But their opponent's remaining schedule, strength of schedule, is 522, which is the 13th hardest. So middling, but a little to the hard side in terms of the middle group of remaining strength of schedules. I think the Chiefs are appropriately the short shot, but man, as you just scan this, this is one of these where it's easy to identify what the best bet is, right?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
I don't know that there was, I've got three teams in mind. great.
Isn't there one that just jumps off the page just based on this alone, what their current record is and what the remaining strength of schedule is?
You talking Lions?
Yeah. The team that everybody gave me guff for because I had the audacity to like the Ravens and say that they were the 11th best team in football. I would bet them at 10-1.
Yeah.
10-1 with the second easiest remaining schedule in the National Football League with an opponent's aggregate win percentage of 388. Give me that.
I think the Chiefs are going to be tough to pass. And like you said, I think they're probably accurately priced here.
Yes, I do too. I think they're the correct short shot. But you're saying, what's the best bet on the board? Lions at 10-1.
I agree. The three that I kind of circled, I mean, we're Chiefs at the top.
I'm interested to see what your other two are.
I don't even know if that number's too short. I think that could be playable. Someone told me they played this right now. I wouldn't hate that bet.
I wouldn't hate it. It's just a question of most people have a finite resources, mm-hmm. right? And so, there's obviously we deal with professional bettors who seem to have an endless amount and multiple accounts. And so, them betting a +210 on the Chiefs is one thing, mm-hmm. but the average person probably listening to this show is like, well, I get that the Chiefs are probably the best bet and I'd make that bet, but right. do I really want the opportunity cost, macroeconomics 101, of putting that money in the Chiefs and having to wait, what is it, 10 more weeks, 11 more weeks to have that cash?
Yeah, a few more months. No, I hear you. The three I kind of circled, Chiefs, Lions, and then you want to guess the third? I mean, Lions are one I circled for sure.
I think you have to guess the third.
I think you have to look at the Lions at least here. With the division they're in, and my third team is kind of along the same thinking here.
The same thinking of which?
The Lions.
Of the Lions?
Yeah. They just don't have that easy, the super easy strength of schedule right in front of them.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't even hazard a guess.
Jaguars.
Oh, I was going to guess that. You took me off the scent.
Because they have that. We talked about this even before the season, right? It's the Jags schedule is kind of comical. Like, it looks like it was made on purpose, right? Like, the good team in the AFC South. Because you got the AFC South that's terrible. But then you have these, like, marquee huge games coming up.
Yeah.
And, okay, if they win some of these, it really just depends on how good you think the Jacksonville Jaguars are. If you think they're a top team in the AFC, then they should be able to grab a couple wins. And some, this schedule got easier along the way here than it was preseason, right? You got a big game with the Niners after your bye week, but you have the bye before that. And then you're talking Titans, Texans, Bengals. How good are the Bengals? How good are they going to be when they play them? We don't know. Browns, is Deshaun Watson going to be around? What's going on with that team?
Shouldn't the strategery for all of these, and we always say this with all these kinds of markets, but okay, I think the Jaguars are good. I agree with everything you're saying. I think they're going to win their division, on and on. I'd wait till after the Niners game to make this bet on the Jaguars because I'm going to assume they lose that at home. By the way, they may win it, right? Because, again, Brock Purdy, the big news in the NFL yesterday was Brock Purdy got concussed and Tyreek Hill might not play for the Dolphins. By the way, guess who has a bet on each of these guys for separate award markets? Your boy.
I didn't put that together.
It was like Armageddon for me. Like, what do you mean either of these guys is hurt, let alone both of them? So I don't know. It's going to be Sam Darnold this week for the Niners. That line, just to let you know again, the Niners are down to 3 in some spots against the Bengals. I grabbed the Bengals at 3.5, by the way, yesterday. I like that now because I don't think it adjusted enough. But we don't know if Brock Purdy's going to be around. We don't know anything. Right. He could play this week also if he gets through concussion protocol.
I disagree. I think if you were going to bet this, if you're betting this anyways, you think Jacksonville's a really good team. So I think if you're betting this, you're betting this thinking they're going to beat the Niners because if you wait till after, then the price drop that's going to occur probably isn't worth it, right? If they win, beat the Steelers, you go into a bye, and then lose against the Niners.
You don't think the price drop will be worth it?
Right, yeah.
I think it will be worth it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. You could be right about that.
I don't know either.
Yeah. You could be right about that. But think of schedule when diving in any of this. But I would go with the Lions. Crack, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app. Use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. And without further ado, Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here it
Krakatoa. What's happening?
You know, I have a buddy in town staying down at the Hard Rock. Well, that's not the one. Hold on. Yeah. When I say Hard Rock, that's going to be the new Mirage. Let's not call it that. The Hard Rock to me is always going to be Virgin.
Me too.
Where Virgin is
me
now.
Too. But as soon as you said that, I'm thinking that building.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So I have a buddy. I have a buddy of mine staying there, and I went to go pick him up, and I just realized how bad the traffic was.
Dude.
7 o'clock. I said, be ready at 7, just in case it takes extra time to get down here, and I realized that it's. It was difficult getting down. There's, you know what I don't like? I don't like when there's all the lane closed with all the cones and nothing's going on.
Nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
It's every morning here. It's incredible.
But this is really bad. You know, it's funny. Out of nowhere, and then Fez sends me a text at 7:37, like he's somehow spying on me with his satellite cam or something. out of nowhere, he says he surveyed 20... Fez, I wish I had the time to do what you do. You're surveying people.
He is. He is on a rampage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's surveying people. Okay.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't pay to have a clear head. what I wouldn't pay. There's a number on it, and it's thousands. I surveyed
it's a number
about
on everything,
20,
Bill.
20 yeah. different employees who work on the strip.
Yeah.
Did you have a clipboard and go, sir, do you have an opinion? All right. Dealers, hotel, and various casino employees. On average, they told me they would personally pay $1,000 if they could just cancel F1 next year.
We got to talk about this.
So I would estimate 200,000 employees work or live near the strip. Yes. 200,000 negative utility economic benefits for those employees alone. It's true. It's a F1 disaster. And Steve, I hope I can read all your tweets. I mean, all your texts to me. The tip of the iceberg. That's just the employees here. They don't even count for the millions of tourists that have been inconvenienced for months.
That's right.
Trips they made. Listen, great time of the year to come out. Like I said, my buddy comes out twice a year. This is one of the times he comes out. By the way, he comes out for like a month normally. He's actually saying he's leaving before the race. That's how disgusted he is.
Listen, this is most people are not going to be here for this. Most people have not been to Vegas. But I just want to say it one more time. They can't have this beyond this year.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah.
This has been, I'm gonna see if you agree with me here. Only that famous NBA All-Star weekend from back in the day compares to how badly this has gone.
They were flipping over crap tables, not paying for Do you know that's why I think NBA will never be here? That weekend you're talking about, they were walking out of restaurants everywhere, people that came in for the NBA All-Star game and just not paying.
This is a protracted, slower play disaster.
Wow.
Than that was. This is, for those of us who live on the Strip, and I get it, I'm not asking for anybody's sympathy. Yeah. I chose to live there. But if it's going to happen another year, we're all moving. All of us.
Now, we got to be careful, though, because, you know, this is the desert, and we will wind up at the back of a trunk 100 yards down the road from Caesars because someone got paid off. It's that simple.
Exactly.
Someone got paid off.
That is why no journalist in town will write an expose about this and name names because they'll end up. But this has been, because Steve is on a rampage about this, and he's right.
He's right.
Right? He's right. It has... He's right about the tourist part, too. Imagine if you didn't know about F1 and you're like, oh, I'm going to Vegas.
You want to see the Bellagio fountains for the first time.
It's a disaster.
You're not doing it.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster. They have the grandstand set up everywhere, sidewalks closed, all the beautiful trees pulled out.
And as I've said before, and this is the real insult to injury, for those of us who endured all of this and thought in the end, oh, well, at least we'll get a great vantage point to watch all this.
Yeah.
Again, I'm being charged to watch this from my own roof.
That's unbelievable.
Okay. And I have heard stories about this, and I cannot confirm this part. But remember when I joked, I'm like, I wouldn't even be surprised if they took like a long thing at the top of a building and then just draped it down everybody who has a straight on view of it.
Right.
I am hearing rumors that I cannot confirm that people who have direct views from their apartment,
right,
they're trying to figure out a way to monetize them too.
Oh my God. That's terrible.
I mean, it's like, are we kidding about this?
Imagine if you lived, Fez said this, imagine if you lived at the old Meridian, where all, every wise guy that came to town, by the way, that's where you were living. You were living in the Meridian back in the, I guess, the late 70s, 80s. It's on the corner of Flamingo and Colville, on the corner there. Imagine living there now, right now at that Flamingo and Colville intersection, how bad the traffic is. Miserable from July to November. Absolutely correct.
The corner where Tupac famously was shot. That's the corner you're talking about.
That's exactly right.
That is a that place is the cluster of all the clusters. The Koval right now is you cannot even. I mean, it's one lane the whole time through. But then the last thing I want to talk about. So it's not only that it's been 4 months of this. It's not only that they're charging people who have residences, right, who can go to their own roofs and watch. Like, oh, no, sorry, we're charging for that. The third insult of all of this is, and this may or may not be avoidable, but it is part of the calculus of the whole thing, is the qualifying, the practice, the race itself. 10 p.m., midnight, 10 p.m. So literally, like, so the practice, the qualifying, no, pardon me, the qualifying the night before starts at midnight.
Midnight.
All right. Some,
50 degrees.
I got to be up at five. I got to be up at five in the morning.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, okay, wait a minute now. Now, here's the thing. But I live there. And so I want to kind of, I'm curious to watch it, but for 5 minutes.
That's it.
So I, so am I going to pay $300 to go to my roof to watch it? And then 5 minutes in, I'm going to be like, that was cool. I got to go to bed. No, but it's so it's you can never you can't win on anything, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It's unbelievable.
And it's cold. You're right. It's going to be cold. Too.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. Fez said that. He said, and if you ran for mayor for one cam with one campaign promise.
That's exactly right.
Not to get this race the next year. Everyone's going to vote, you know, anyway. It's just.
It's incredible, man. Okay. We have questions for you on Twitter.
Already?
Yeah, we have plenty of them.
Okay.
Would you like to take one of them randomly?
Yeah, sure, sure.
By the way, I see you're very excited about this baseball stadium rendition for $1.5 billion.
Well, I just. Yeah. Why not have a. I don't understand. We're going to have a stadium here in town built. And I looked up this last night. I went through a couple different articles.
It looks beautiful.
It looks great. How can we not have a roof?
Oh, we got to have a roof.
It's only, it's only partially retractable. I read every article there was last night.
Partially retractable?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, God. Forget it. Wait a minute.
There's go to an August. What do you cover? Like, what
you're, they're covering like, the players. The field. The field. The players. I looked at. You're covering the field. It's coming out to the. Right to the stands. So you're covering the field, the player, most of the crowd. But if you're an outfield, if you're in the outfield, you better be getting in for free.
Forget the outfield. Like, could you, again, it's like it's the Vegas Golden Knights. If the Capitals, I'll use them in D.C. because that's wherever. If the Capitals come into town, everybody in D.C. is a Caps fan. It's like, hey, let's make a day of it. Let's make a weekend of it, whatever. Raiders, same thing, right? Without a towners, no matter the city you're from. But if the Milwaukee Brewers or no, let me use, I mean, whatever league they're in, right? Pick your team are having a 4-game set at a partially retractable roof, you know, thing in Vegas. Ain't nobody coming in July. Nobody.
And not that we're talking negative, because I'm just to let you know, I grew up, as you guys know, I grew up on baseball and boxing. So I love baseball games.
I love
baseball. I'm happy they're coming here. I want to go to games. I want to be able to go hang out there and see internet. You could see every team now that, you know, it's not just going to be the Yankees and stuff. They, you know, they have the games where they play the National League too.
Right, that's
so
correct.
This is going to be really fun, I think. But as long as they do it the right way. But I was upset to see it not come to 2028.
Wait a minute. No. There's no chance. I've always said this. There's no chance this works. Like, Vegas is still a small. I know they think they're a big metropolitan city. They're not. They're 2.3 million people. You can't support 81 home dates in June, July, August heat. Especially if they're saying it's going to be an outdoor stadium.
Well, I'm only going by what it says. Yeah. Now, so you're saying that you even say even if it's a completely dome stadium, you don't think people will come?
I just think it's not the slam.
Well, then what
dunk.
About the Arizona? What do they do there?
I'm glad you brought that up. So our buddy Mark Borchardt, who comes to us from an undisclosed location in the desert, when the Diamondbacks aren't in the World Series like they are right now, he says, you know, when it's a standard Diamondback season, he goes, Gil, it's not about even the fact that the roof is there. Just going to the parking lot and walking through the parking lot at 4 p.m. or whatever time it is.
That's
right?
Got to be so tough
to do. He says it's so exhausting. Like, you have no idea how hot it is. It's going to be the same thing here.
Got to take limos. Drop your off at the door.
Yeah, now how many people do that? Everybody's Bill Krakenberger.
No, I'm just saying you got to do that. Yeah.
You got to do that, Kelly. Limo to the game.
You got
to
do that. The renderings are cool. It's just one of those. I thought the same thing, you guys. Like, it's the on TV, it's going to look amazing because you're going to have the shot from behind home plate where you're going to see the whole field and the strip in the background, and it's going to look really cool. But overall, ticket sales, I'm with you. It's hard enough already to try to get these fan bases in once a week for an NFL game when the Raiders are playing at home. How are you going to do that multiple times?
I say they sell out every game.
The baseball games?
Every game.
You're
these no. casinos are buy tickets for their customers in bulk.
Okay. I mean, well, if you're going
to MGM has 1,000 seats at the Raiders Stadium.
If you're going to manipulate the numbers, that's a different story. But I'm just telling you, it's not going to be. No. Okay. All right. Well, didn't mean to be that negative about Vegas that segment, but here we are. Questions for Crack on Twitter. We'll address them all next. Dan Le Batard next on DK Network.